Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever watched an ant scurry across a sidewalk or carry a crumb of food back to its nest? Sometimes these nests are big mounds of dirt or sand. Other times, they are a simple hole in the ground leading to a mysterious underground tunnel system. Recently, my family and I were out exploring when we stopped to watch an ant nest. There were thousands of ants hard at work. They would come in and out of their nest, carrying sand and soil as they dug their tunnels. Have you ever watched ants do this? It looks very organized, like they have a master plan. I read recently in the Audubon Nature Encyclopedia that ants are well worth observing. As well, in the Handbook of Nature Study, we read, "I am sure that none of us can sit down by an ant nest and watch its citizens come and go without discovering things that make us marvel." This means that watching ants is a very good way to spend our time, and the Bible agrees. Proverbs 6:6-8 gives these instructions. "Go watch the ants, you lazy person. Watch what they do and be wise. Ants have no commander, no leader or ruler, but they store up food in the summer and gather their supplies at harvest." Watching ants is a smart thing to do. So let's look closely at them in today's lesson. Here's our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to learn, how does an ant colony begin? And how do ants work together? We will discover, where do ants get their super strength? And how does God give us super strength? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who made this lesson possible, including CTC Math. Math helps us unlock the mysteries of nature and science. CTC Math makes learning math easy and exciting with quick, simple-to-understand video lessons that you can watch as many times as you need to. After watching, use the practice questions to master math skills and grow at your own pace. Parents, you will appreciate how CTC Math supports every learning style and keeps kids motivated. Try it free today and see how math can help you explore God's amazing world. Start your math adventure with a free trial at ctcmath.com or at the link in our show notes. Do you want to know how all the stories in the Bible are connected? With Answers Bible Curriculum, you will discover the big picture of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. Parents, this four-year curriculum covers the entire Bible in order, helping your kids understand God's plan and how it applies to their lives. With fun lessons, scripture memory, and activities for grades kindergarten through fifth, it's a perfect way to explore the Bible together as a family. And with a focus on apologetics, your children will learn to stand strong in their faith. Learn more at answersbookstore.com/Bible or at the link in our show notes and start your Bible adventure today. It's time for our trivia question. How many different types of ants are there in the world? A, 700, B, 3,000, C, 9,000, or D, 15,000? Again, how many different types of ants are there in the world? A, 700, B, 3,000, C, 9,000, or D, 15,000? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. Have you ever seen or perhaps even stepped on a mound of dirt only to then realize it's an anthill? Anthills are very interesting. But why do you think ants build anthills? Is it only because they need a home to live in? Ants live in groups called colonies. An ant colony is a group of ants that work very hard together to hatch and grow more ants. That way their colony can grow. In the ant colony, ants have different jobs so that the work can be done most efficiently. Do you know what that word efficiently means? Doing something efficiently means it is done in a way that saves time and energy. Here's an example of doing something efficiently in my home. My daughter often has the job of cleaning off and wiping down the table after meals. One of my sons has the job of cleaning the floor under the table. I encourage them to make sure my daughter cleans the table before my son cleans the floor. Why do you think that is? It's because if my son cleans the floor first, and then my daughter wipes the table off and some crumbs fall down onto the floor, my son might need to clean the floor all over again. Instead, my daughter cleans the table first. And that way, if anything falls off the table onto the floor, it gets cleaned up as my son cleans the floor. By doing a job in a certain order, we can save time and energy. That is working efficiently. Ant colonies are incredibly efficient because they have many worker ants with different jobs. But how does an ant colony begin in the first place? It all starts with a queen ant. The queen ant is in charge of laying eggs. That is her whole job. Even though she's called the queen, she doesn't really lead or definitely doesn't boss around the other ants. Her whole job is to lay eggs. And even though she will lay thousands of eggs throughout her life, she only needs to mate one time. This is the very beginning of a new ant colony. And here is how it happens. Once in her life, a young queen ant goes on a very special flight called a nuptial flight. On a warm, sunny day, usually after it rains, lots of queen ants and male ants called drones fly up into the sky. This is the only time that ants use their wings. Only queen ants and male drone ants have wings, and only for a short amount of time during their life, so they can perform this special nuptial flight. The queen ant meets the male ants in the sky, and they mate, which means the male ants help her get ready to lay eggs and have babies. After the nuptial flight, the male ants die because their job is done, and the queen flies off to start a new ant colony. She lands and finds a good spot, like under a rock or in the dirt, and then she starts laying eggs and becomes the mother of a new ant colony. She also pulls off her wings because she doesn't need them anymore. This might seem a bit strange, but it is how God designed ants to create more of their own kind. In Genesis 1:24, God said, "Let the earth be filled with animals, each producing more of its own kind. Let there be tame animals and small crawling animals and wild animals, and let each produce more of its kind." And it happened. God designed ants to know how to do this special nuptial flight so more ant colonies can be made so that there can be more ants. Now you might wonder, why do we need more ants? Especially if you have ever been bitten by them.
Ouch!
I remember one day when I was a young girl and my family was out hiking, and suddenly I felt sharp pains on my legs, and I realized that ants had crawled up into my pants and I had to hurriedly brush them off my legs. I was certainly wondering in that moment why we need ants. Even though they might bite, ants are very important in God's creation. They have special jobs to do in nature. Here are some of the special jobs that ants do. First, they clean up. Ants eat dead bugs and leftover food that gets dropped, which helps keep the ground clean. Second, they move soil. As ants dig tunnels, they mix and loosen the soil, which helps air get into the soil so new plants can grow. Third, they plant seeds. Some ants carry seeds into their nests, and those seeds grow into new plants. Fourth, they are food for other creatures. Birds, frogs, lizards, and other animals eat ants to help them stay alive. And finally, ants eat pests. Ants hunt tiny insects that hurt plants, helping gardens and forests stay healthy. So ants are very important. And by God's great design, ants perform the nuptial flight so queen ants can create more ant colonies. As the queen ant lays eggs, those eggs hatch into babies, which grow into worker ants. Worker ants are female ants that do not have wings and do not lay eggs, but have many different jobs in the ant colony. So worker ants are hatched from eggs that the queen lays. Some worker ants are foragers, meaning that they go out to find food and bring it back to feed their ant colony. Other worker ants are nurse ants, which help care for the queen's eggs and the baby ants, which are called larvae. Still, some worker ants are builders, helping dig tunnels and construct the detailed plans of the ant nest. Some worker ants are on guard duty, protecting the ant nest and colony from predators that might be looking for a tasty ant lunch. Finally, some worker ants are soldiers. Soldier ants normally have bigger heads and jaws, and their main job is helping to fight off predators and protect the ant colony. All of these jobs that worker ants do are very important so that the ant nest can be built and stay safe and be filled with more ants to grow that ant colony. But how exactly does all of this work get done efficiently? The ant colony is like a big team. If you have ever been on a team, maybe in a sport or in a game, you might know that a very important thing in a team is communication or sharing information. When I was a young girl, on summer nights, our neighborhood kids would gather for games of capture the flag, and we would try to carefully share information with our team as to where we thought the other team's flag might be and where other rival team members might be waiting and hiding to capture us. Ants also need to communicate a whole lot of information to make sure that all the jobs in the nest are done right and efficiently. But have you ever knelt down close to an ant nest and heard a bunch of chattering or talk? No. Ants do not communicate through talking like we do. Instead, they communicate and share information in a very special way, through their antennae. If you have ever looked closely at an ant, you might have noticed their antennae. An ant's antennae are two feelers on an ant's head that help it smell, touch, and talk to other ants. But how exactly does it work? Ants give off special chemical scents or smells called pheromones. Pheromones are special smells that ants make to send messages to each other. But what might they be communicating through these pheromone scents? They communicate when an ant finds food. It leaves a scent trail so that other ants can follow it and find the food. They also communicate if there's danger. An ant will release a different smell to warn the colony. And finally, ants even use these pheromones to know who belongs to their nest. So instead of talking with words, ants talk with smells, and their antennae help them sniff out these messages. Let's zoom in on an ant's special antennae. In the year 1901, so over 123 years ago, a research study was published in the Academy of Natural Sciences of Philadelphia by a woman named Adele M. Field. Each antenna on an ant has three segments or sections at its end. And this research paper showed that each segment on the antenna has a specific job of smelling or sensing what is around the ant. It's kind of like if you had three noses. The segment on the end is in charge of smelling odors or smells from the ant's nest. This way, the ant knows which nest is her own. The next segment is in charge of smelling which ants are from her same queen, so she knows who is from her colony and can recognize them, especially if they are outside the nest, perhaps out searching for food. The next segment helps her smell her own scent on the trail so that she can retrace her steps and never become lost. If an ant tragically loses its antennae, it loses all power to communicate with and help the ant colony. God designed an ant's antennae to be able to smell what's around them so that they can find their way, stay safe, and help their colony. The next stop on our trail map is inspired by a great question from one of our listeners.
Hi, my name is Zoe, and I'm 11 years old, and I live in Arkansas. And I want to know how ants stay small when they eat a lot. And how do they carry things bigger than themselves? Thank you. Bye.
That is a wonderful question, Zoe. How do ants stay so small when they eat a lot of food? And how do they carry things that are bigger than themselves? Recently, as my family and I were watching an ant nest, we saw many ants coming out of the underground tunnels carrying soil and sand. They were digging tunnels underground and carrying out all the dirt from where they were digging. It's kind of like if you are digging a hole with a shovel and then setting the shoveled dirt aside of the hole. We also saw ants carrying bits of food back into their nest. If you have ever seen this, you might have noticed that ants have super strength. While they may only be carrying a pebble or a crumb of food, it can be something much heavier than themselves. Ants have such amazing super strength that, depending on the species, they can lift and carry things that are 10 to 50 times heavier than they are. That would be like you lifting and carrying a car. Have you ever tried to carry a car? I don't recommend it, and you will not get very far. God did not design us with this kind of super strength, but He designed ants with this super strength so they can build their nest and care for their ant colony. How did God design ants with super strength? There are several pieces to this amazing design. First, their bodies are built just right. Ants have small, compact bodies with a strong shape that helps them lift heavy things compared to their size. Zoe asked how ants stay so small when they eat a lot. God designed an ant's body to stay small, and it is actually that small size and how they are shaped that allows them to carry large loads. They have a great load distribution. It's kind of like if you're trying to pick up a heavy box and someone says, "Hey, make sure to lift with your legs." An ant's body is built just right for super strength in a tiny package. Second, ants wear armor. Their hard outer shell called an exoskeleton helps protect them and support them as they carry heavy loads. Third, they have a lot of muscles. Even though they're tiny, ants are packed with strong muscles inside. And fourth, they have smart bodies. Their nervous system helps them move quickly and to use their strength in the right way. Not only can ants lift and carry things much heavier than themselves, but their tiny bodies are built to withstand extreme pressure. Like if something is dropped on them, they can withstand pressure about 5,000 times heavier than themselves. That would be like you having a massive blue whale on top of you and it not squishing you. Ants use their super strength to carry loads of soil out of their nest when they're constructing it, or to carry food back into the nest to feed the colony. Sometimes you can see a procession of ants, which looks like a parade of ants all marching in a line, carrying food back to the nest. Ants will do this if they find a good source of food and need to team together to get it all back to the nest. When there is an ant procession carrying food, they will often take one route or way to the nest with the food, and then they'll take a different route or way back to get more food. This way, the ants coming in with food and returning to go get more food don't run into each other. That is pretty efficient teamwork. And get this, instead of carrying huge chunks of food, the ant often breaks it down into smaller pieces. They use their special jaws, which are large and positioned sideways, to break down big food into crumbs that they can easily carry. God designed ants with super strength, and He also gives us super strength. No, not through the way our bodies are shaped or through tightly compact muscles, and definitely not through a hard protective exoskeleton, because we don't have one. No, instead, our super strength is inside of us, and it comes from God Himself. Listen very closely to Ephesians 1:19-20. As you listen, I want you to hunt for an answer in this passage. God says that the power inside of us is the same as another power that performs something very amazing. See if you can catch it in this passage. Are you ready? Ephesians 1:19-20 says, "And you will know that God's power is very great for us who believe. That power is the same as the great strength God used to raise Christ from the dead and put Him at His right side in the heavenly world." Did you catch it? What does this passage say the power in us is the same as? The power in us is the same as the strength God used to raise Jesus from the dead. That is very powerful. That same power is inside of us as we follow God and trust Jesus as our Savior. Just imagine what God can do in you and through you with a power like that. Ephesians 3:20 says, "With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine." Listeners, this verse tells us that we are not limited by our own humanity or by being human. God can do far, far more in us and through us than we think we can do. Does this mean that we can jump up and fly like a bird or lift up a car like an ant lifts and carries something 50 times its own weight? No, that is not normally how God works. A lot of times when God displays His power in us and through us, it's in different ways. Sometimes God does perform miracles or things that make no sense to us. Other times, His power is displayed in us when He helps us to do something. Maybe He helps us overcome a big fear, or maybe He helps us have a conversation with someone, even a scary conversation, that helps them see the truth and love of God. Maybe He helps us have the strength to stand up for someone who is being bullied, or to break a bad habit or start a good one. Ephesians 3:20 told us God's power in us can do more than we can ask or imagine. This means we can't even picture in our minds what God can do in us through His power. And although we have God's power inside of us, we will not always feel it. But listener, when we feel weak, that's when God's power can shine through us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is enough for you. When you are weak, My power is made perfect in you. So I am very happy to brag about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can live in me." Whenever you feel weak, Remember that if you follow Jesus, God's power is inside of you. It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that can perform miracles, and the power that helps us in our everyday lives. With that power, God can do incredible things in you and through you, things that you could not even imagine. God's power inside of us is far, far stronger than an ant's super strength. So listener, as you might carefully watch an ant's nest, carefully watch for God's power and strength on display in your life. Keep these words from Isaiah 41:10 near and dear to your heart. So don't worry, because I am with you. Don't be afraid, because I am your God. I will make you strong and will help you. I will support you with my right hand that saves you. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here's today's question.
Hi, my name is Michaela. I am 12 years old and I live in Saskatchewan, Canada. And I am wondering, how many different breeds of horses are there in the world?
That is a great question, Michaela. How many different breeds of horses are there in the world? Long ago, all the horses we have today came from two main groups, one from Europe and one from the Middle East. Today, there are over 300 different kinds of horse breeds around the world. That number is hard to know for sure, because people don't count horse breeds in the same way. Some horses don't have very unique features, some go away or become extinct over time, and there's no one group of people in charge of naming all the breeds. To be called a breed, a horse must have special features, like its size, color, how it moves, and what it's good at. Most horses fit into five big groups. First, draft horses. These are big and strong. These horses often help with heavy work on farms. They're gentle and calm, so a lot of people call them gentle giants. Second, there are light horses. These horses are fast and quick. They're often used for racing or riding long distances. They get all excited easily and love to move. Third are the warmbloods. These are a mix of draft and light horses. They are good at sports like jumping and dressage. Fourth, there are gated horses. These horses move very smoothly, which makes them comfortable to ride for a long time. And finally, there are ponies. Ponies are smaller horses. They are often used for kids to ride because of their short size and sweet nature. Thanks for your great question, Michaela. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. Now it's time to answer our trivia question. How many different species or types of ants are there in the world? A, 700, B, 3,000, C, 9,000, or D, 15,000? The answer is D, 15,000. Actually, there are over 15,000 recognized types of ants. And scientists believe that that number might be closer to 25,000 or 30,000. That is a whole lot of ant designs. And each design is unique and special. Think about all the amazing abilities that God has designed all those different types of ants with. Now it's your turn to explore. Go find and watch an ant nest. Can you try to count all the ants that you see? Where do you lose count? Watch and see if they're carrying food back into their nest or carrying little bits of soil or sand out of their nest as they dig tunnels. Maybe draw an ant nest on a piece of paper and what you believe the tunnels underneath the ground look like. As you watch ants, observe how they work together. See if you can see them using their antennae. As you watch them, think about how carefully God has designed ants to work together and support their colony. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on ants, please take a moment to share it with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all looking for